Matthew 27, been looking at hiding the truth. Jesus was in the grave and the devil was glad. And if there's anything he did not want was the fact for Jesus to come out of that grave. Because as Jesus had said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, if the truth shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The devil doesn't want us to be exposed to the truth. And he certainly doesn't want us to believe the truth. He is a liar. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. He said he's the father of lies. Let's look just at verse 65 and verse 66 to sort of jump into the thought. Dealing with the body of Christ, they think. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They sealed the stone. They set the soldiers. And I have looked at these thoughts, sealing the stone and the strength of the soldiers and the strategy of Satan. All that to try and keep him in the tomb. Unless you don't realize they failed. But just because the devil did fail, that doesn't mean he's quit fighting. The devil's strategy, the strategy of Satan, he wanted the Lord to stay in that tomb because if he came out, that meant that what he had said was the truth. And if he came out, the truth would be out. And he didn't want that. And he still doesn't. I've mentioned several things, but I want to mention that the devil wants to deceive. I said it already. Jesus said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. The devil speaks. Did you hear me? The devil speaks lies to us. It's just like the Holy Spirit, if you're saved. The Holy Spirit speaks inside. It is as though you hear a voice, and it's not like an audible voice, but it's something inside. It's almost like you're thinking to yourselves, but it's a whole lot more than me. It's Him. And just like the Holy Spirit speaks to us, the devil speaks to us. And a lot of times, if we aren't careful, we'll think those thoughts are our thoughts. And we'll be listening to the liar and not realize who it is. I ask you a question. Where do you think those thoughts come from that you have? Many of them are from the evil one. And he speaks to us in a desire and an attempt to deceive us. Because he knows now that the truth is out. Jesus did come out. The best thing he can do now, the next best thing, is to keep us from believing the truth. That's what he did with Eve. You know, it's not anything wrong with that tree. God's lying to you. But listen, he was deceiving her. He was lying to her, and he still tries to deceive us if we'll let him. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded, what we think. To be carnally minded is death. The word carnally there has the idea of fleshly or earthly. Or now, with no thought of the hereafter, with no thought of the Lord, no thought of spiritual things. He said to be spiritually minded, to think of carnal things, I should say. To be carnally minded is death. To think only of now is death. A lot of in that verse, it means first that you're living a life of death. You're not alive. You're dead spiritually. But it means more than that. It means after we leave this world, that person who has lived their life with a carnal mind and a fleshly mind and living for now, that person goes to what's called the second death, or to go to hell forever. And he said it like this: to be carnally minded, to think about earthly things only, to think about now only, to think about things of today and not of eternity, not of after this life. He said that's a dead life, and it leads to death. But the point is to be carnally minded, to think of. And here's what the devil will say to the carnally minded person. Listen to this. He'll say, "You're okay. You don't need forgiveness. You're not near." Hey, he talks to you. He talks to me. And the carnally minded person, the person who thinks on carnal things and earthly things, hears this: "You're all right. You don't need forgiveness. There's not a hell. God's a God of love." But we need to remember, the devil is a liar. He's trying to deceive. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace and life. That word, again, minded, suggests what we're thinking about, what we're listening to. And the person who is spiritually minded lives a life of life, a life of peace. And then you get to go to heaven after you die. And all that verse is centered around what we think, spiritually minded or carnally minded. And what we're thinking has a lot to do with who we're listening to. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit, who always tells us right, or to the devil, who always tells us wrong? I'm talking about, the devil doesn't want you to be exposed to the truth. And if you are, he doesn't want you to believe it. He's trying to deceive. He tries to deceive in order to condemn people. He wants you to go to hell. He's going, and he wants to take as many with him as he can. And he'll lie to you to deceive you, to draw you into hell. His desire is to condemn. His desire is to confuse. He wants to get a person to where they don't know what they believe. Don't know what truth is. Don't know what right is. Don't know who to believe. He wants to confuse people. I'm talking about the devil tries to deceive. He does that. He's trying to condemn and he's trying to confuse. You remember I mentioned last week, he's trying to cripple. Remember Peter walking on the water? I'm talking about he's doing something impossible. God's working through Peter to do something that cannot be done. But once Peter gets his eyes off the Lord and on the sea and the storm, he begins to sink. What happened? The devil started speaking to him and showing him the danger. And as soon as Peter started listening to the devil, he started going down. But more than just going down, he stopped walking on the water. And that's what the devil wants to do with us. He wants to cripple us to where we're not doing what God wants us to do, and God's not using us in a mighty way. He wants to cripple all that, and he does it by speaking to us. Well, let me go on. I'm talking about the devil tries to deceive. He doesn't want us getting the truth. He wants to lie to us and convince us that his lies are the truth. He's trying to condemn, and he's trying to confuse, and he's trying to cripple, but he's also trying to control people. He's not just trying to worry you or trouble you or confuse you or get you upset. Now, he wants to do those things, But his desire, listen, his desire is to control you. To make you do not what God wants, but what the devil wants. To control us. To be in charge of our lives. Got a question? When David looked off his balcony and saw Bathsheba bathing, who do you think spoke to David? Why did David, listen, why did David call for her? Why did David take her when he knew it was wrong? Because the devil spoke to him, and he listened to the liar and did what the liar told him to do. He was under the influence of the liar, and he did what he normally would not have done because he listened to the devil. And the devil, when he listened to him, controlled him to do something wrong. And that's why he whispers to you and me, not to just disturb us, not just to trouble us, not just to make us fearful, but he wants control of our lives. He wants to be the master. He wants to be the one that controls us. And he lies to us. He whispers to us and says, go ahead, it'll be all right. Look at that, how good that looks. You'll enjoy that. It'll be okay. But those are lies. And if we listen to the lie, we'll do what he tells us to do. Why didn't Peter deny the Lord? Because the devil spoke to him. And he listened to the lies of the devil, and he did what the devil told him to do. And that's why the devil talks to you, because he's wanting to control your life and mine. He wants to be the master. He wants to be the controller. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, this, and go on. He said, out of the heart come evil thoughts. And from those thoughts come evil deeds. Have you ever heard the term train of thoughts? Well, there's more to that than just a little cliche. A train is a connection of boxcars. One comes after the other. And that's exactly what a train of thought. I lost my train of thought. I'm familiar with that. A train of thought means one comes after the other. One controls the other. And that's exactly what it is when the devil's talking to us. He whispers a thought to us, and that leads us to a desire, and that leads us to a yearning, and that leads us to an action, and that action leads us to a bad deed. Do you understand? It started from a thought and leads to a deed. That's why David called for Bathsheba. That's why Peter denied the Lord. That's why John Mark went back home. Because the devil spoke to them, and they did not deal with those thoughts as they should and say, devil, you're lying to me. And those thoughts became deeds. And that's why the devil speaks to you. He's trying to control you and I. I say it again. He wants to be the master of our lives. He wants to be the king. He wants to be the one on the throne. And we aren't careful, we'll let it happen. He wants to control people. Bad thoughts lead to bad deeds. Could I say it like this? Good thoughts will lead to good deeds. You got up this morning, don't know what your thoughts were. But somewhere in your thoughts you said, I hope you said, I am so glad it's church day. I can't wait to get there. And those good thoughts led to good actions. You got ready and you came. You may have said, well, it's church day. I got to go. But at least it was a good thought, and your good thoughts led to good deeds, and here you are. Your thoughts controlled your actions. And good thoughts lead to good deeds, and bad thoughts lead to bad deeds. And the devil whispers in our ear because he's trying to control us. And when he whispers in our ears and tells us lies, if we aren't careful, we'll believe it. David, it's all right. Look at her. Oh, my, that'd make you happy. But he found out it was a lie, and it cost more than it was worth. I'm talking this morning about hiding the truth. The devil wants to hide the truth from us. He's trying to deceive. He does that because he's trying to condemn people, confuse people, cripple people. He's trying to control people. Listen, he's trying to convince people. He's trying to convince you that he's right and you're wrong. Isn't that what he did with Eve? You're not really believing what God said, are you? Well, that doesn't even make sense. Why would God put you in this beautiful garden and then tell you not to enjoy all of it? That doesn't make any sense. Look at this tree, Eve. Look at this tree, how beautiful it is. And look at that fruit. Don't you know that fruit tastes great? He's trying to convince her that what God said, listen, he's trying to convince her that what God said isn't the truth. No wonder he didn't want the truth getting out. He's trying to convince people. Convince literally means to overcome by argument. No, Eve, you got it all wrong. God really blew it this time. He's trying to keep you from having good happiness. I'm telling you, you better listen. I'll tell you what the truth is. And he convinced her that he was right and God was wrong. And that's exactly what the devil's trying to do with you. And with me, convince us that he's right and God is wrong. The devil tries to convince us that the truth isn't the truth. He's trying to persuade. He's trying to overpower. And I want to tell you something. If you think he can't do it to you, you better open your eyes. Because you're believing the lie. The devil, Lucifer, convinced one-third of the angels to rebel against God. After all they had known was the goodness of God and the power of God and the abundance of God. I mean, listen, God had created these angels and had done nothing but good to them. And somehow Satan convinced them to follow him and abandon God. You think your mind's strong enough to where he won't convince you? You think you're strong enough? You think your mind's able to avoid or overcome the convincing of the devil? He's already got you convinced. After Noah saw the results of the sin and the flood and the entire world wiped out, and he saw it right with his own eyes and heard them screaming and clawing on the ark, begging him to open the door and let them in. And he had got out of the ark later when the waters dried up and he saw all the carnage of sin. After he saw the result of sin, the devil convinced Noah to go and get drunk. Don't tell me you're stronger than the devil. Don't tell me he won't convince you the wrong way is the right way. Don't try and tell me he won't convince us that his way is the best way. If we're dumb enough to listen, if we're not spiritual enough to listen, he's going to convince us. How did Judas decide to betray the Lord? The devil convinced him. During the tribulation period, there'll be people who are suffering tremendously, and they'll still follow the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist. In the millennial reign, after the millennial reign, after these people have lived on earth in absolute peace, and the Lord ruling and reigning in love and compassion, and all they've known is peace, and all they've known is love, at the end of the millennial, the devil's going to convince a bunch of people to betray the Lord. I'm telling you, if you think he can't convince you, you are already in trouble. He's a deceiver. He's a liar, and he's a good one. He tries to keep us from the truth, and when we hear the truth, he tries to convince us that it's a lie. And I want to ask you a question. How does he convince people? How did he convince David? How did he convince the angels? How will he convince the folks that are born to the millennium and to follow him instead of God? How did he convince Judas? How did he convince anybody? Listen. How does he convince somebody? Listen, how does he convince somebody he's right and God is wrong? How does he do that? How in the world can he convince someone that he's right and the Lord is wrong? I'll tell you, listen to me. By talking to you. By talking to you. By talking to us. Trace down everything I mentioned, and every one of them, somewhere, somehow, they were talked to by the devil, and they listened to what the devil said. And the devil's still doing the same thing. It's the same tactic today. He talks to people, trying to deceive people, trying to condemn them, trying to confuse them, trying to cripple them, trying to control them, trying to convince them. He'll talk to you about your conflicts. He'll point out all the troubles you're going through and say, well, if God really loves you, why is he letting you go through all this? Why in the world doesn't your God fix that problem? If he's able to. If he really loves you, why are you hurting? Why are you sick? Why are you going through this? The devil, listen, the devil will talk to you. It sounds like you talking to yourself. Where are those thoughts coming from? It's not from the Lord, none of them are bad. The devil talks to us and he reminds us of our conflicts, of the difficulties of life. How sometimes those who are the most godly suffer the most. They'll say, I thought God loved you. I thought God answered prayer. I thought God was supposed to be able. What about that verse? Where's your God at? The devil will talk to us, trying to convince you that his way is right and the Lord's way is wrong. That what you're doing is foolish. There is no God. Death is the end. Scientists have it right. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. He didn't want the truth gotten out. Because he knows the truth will set us free. If we believe the truth, we'll be set free from all those lies. But he keeps on lying. Keeps on talking. He'll wake you up at night just to bother you. While you're riding down the road, while you're trying to pray, while you're at church, he is not omnipresent like God. He's not everywhere at once, but he's got a demon. He's got bunches of them that'll come and whisper in our ear. And he'll talk about our conflicts. Why are you having it so rough? If God really loves you, could I just say something? The world we're living in, life is a world and life of trouble. Everybody has trouble. It's called life. Saved or lost, life involves troubles, conflicts, sickness, hurt, heartache, trouble, wrong, abuse. That's called life. That's called the world. I want to tell you one thing. When God lets his children go through conflicts, And he let his children hurt, and he lets his children go through problems, there's a good reason. God's wanting not to hurt us. He's wanting to help us. Go ahead and lie, devil. You're a liar. My God's trying to help me by letting me hurt sometimes. Yay! It does hurt. And it is hard. And we do weep. And sometimes we don't understand. But listen, your good God is a good God, and he's doing good things in your life. Don't listen to the devil's lies. A lot of people have quit God and gotten out of church and walked away from God's will because they listened to the lies of the devil when they were going through troubles. And it is hard. I want to tell you, God not only is trying to help you, but he will give you grace through the trouble if you'll let him. There is grace sufficient for whatever we face. Go ahead and lie, devil. It's a lie. But if we ain't careful, listen, he'll convince us he's telling the truth. There is grace sufficient for what you face. I mean by that, God gives you the help you need, the help we need to get through whatever problem we're facing. But when those problems are coming and we're at the worst, the devil will say, "Well, sure God at now. Why didn't he answer your prayer?" I'll tell you, I don't have all the answers. In fact, I don't know all the questions. But I know this, my God is good, he does right, and even my problems are to my good and his glory. And he gives grace along the way to help me through it. The devil will convince us, if we ain't careful, that our conflicts are proof that our God's not God. That it's just like everybody else in the world. He didn't care for you. He's not in charge. He's not in control. I tell you, devil, you're a liar. That's not true. But it sounds awful convincing when you're hurting and things are going awry. Things are falling apart, and it seems like things aren't getting better. But you remember, the devil's still a liar. God's grace is sufficient. Hold on to the Lord's promises. Trust him and let him take you through it. And then when it's over, you can look back and say, "Thank you, God, for what you've done for me." He is conforming us into the image of his Son. What a blessing that is. I'm glad God is working on behalf of his people. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He said, "I've been beaten, I'm bleeding, and a couple of times close to death, maybe did die. But," he said, "the Lord helped me through this." Wonder what Paul heard from the evil one when he was bleeding in prison because he stood for God. Wonder what John the Beloved thought. Wonder what he heard when he was on the Isle of Patmos because he served God. Wonder what mamas thought when their children were killed for the cause of Christ. Wonder what the devil said to them. I don't know, but I know this. It was a lie. What is the devil saying to you that is a lie? That if you ain't careful, you're going to be convinced to listen to him. You're going to listen to him, and if you ain't careful, go down the wrong path. Let me mention one more thing. I'll be done. I'm a long way from done. I'll just quit. I'm talking about the devil deceiving. He doesn't want the truth, God, now. So he spreads lies and rumors and talks to us. He's trying to convince us. And he does it by talking to us about our conflict. And he does it by talking to us about our closeness. You know what the devil will say? Brother Tom hit it this morning. The devil will tell us You don't have to be close to God to walk with Him. And I know that doesn't make sense yet, but listen. The devil will say, you don't have to read that Bible to be a good Christian. You don't have time to read the Bible. You don't even understand it. I'm talking about his lies. He's trying to control us. And in order to control us, he's got to convince us that he's right and the Lord's wrong. And he's a good deceiver. He'll say, you don't have to really be close to the Lord to be a Christian and walk with him. But what about books like the Song of Solomon that get so intimate in the relationship between a man and a wife? And God says, that's exactly the kind of relationship I want with my children. I want something so close and so intimate. The devil says, oh, you don't have to read the Bible every day. You don't have to pray so much. Church is not that important. You don't have to do that. You got a lot of other things on your plate. But listen, the devil is a liar. I'm telling you, our God wants us close to him. You know what? He wants us so close to him that he comes first. Before everything and everybody. But the devil will say, you got a lot of other things you got to do. There's a whole lot of things you want to do. There's a whole lot of fun things that, be honest, may not really be wrong, but if they become more important to us than our Lord, they become wrong in a hurry. But the devil, I'm talking about our closeness, our walk with him, our fellowship with him, our communion with him. He wants us close. Where we talk to him all the time. When a problem comes, the first thing we do is look toward heaven. When a blessing comes, the first thing we do is look toward him and thank him. Where we open that Bible and say, God, I don't care if I read but two words today. I just want you to speak to me. And we get on our knees and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, take over, pray through me. I don't even know what I need to say. And if I try on my own, I'll probably ask for the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. Lord, even in my prayer life, I'm giving you myself. Holy Spirit, take over and come to church alive. Come to church hungry. Come to church open. Come to church willing and ready to worship and to hear and to obey. Not just stumble in, plop down, stumble out, and not get any help because you didn't get involved. The devil was trying to convince us, you don't have to be close to the Lord to be saved and please him. Oh, he wants us close. My point has been, there's somebody called the devil who is a liar, a very good one, best one I know of. And he will lie to you and try to convince you that he's right and God is wrong because he's trying to control you. As a lost person, he's trying to lead you day by day, step by step, closer to hell to where finally you go there. And he doesn't care what he has to do it because he plays by no rules. He's a liar. And he thinks it's okay to lie, and he thinks it's good to lie. So the truth is the only thing that's going to help you against the liar. And if you're saved, he's trying to control you. He's trying to control our thoughts. He speaks to us. He speaks to us, trying to get us convinced that he's right and the Lord's wrong. Because he's trying to control our lives. I think we ought to just say this morning, devil, if for no other reason, I'm going to get right with God, I'm going to listen to God, I'm going to get closer to God, just because you are a liar. And God tells me the truth. I think there's some folks that need to be saved this morning. I believe there's some folks who are saved. You need some help from the Lord because of the burdens you're facing. I believe there's probably somebody here, or more than one somebody, that's saved but not right, and you know you aren't right. You know you are right, and you've been listening to the devil. He's convinced you thus far that it is all right, but it ain't all right. This morning you need to wake up. Whatever's on your heart, whatever the Lord's saying to you, is the truth this morning. Will you listen to Him? The Lord also, just like the devil's trying to control us, but He's trying to control us to do right instead of wrong.